Welcome back for another adventure on the Outdoor Hour. I am your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan, and I don't know about you, but this is hands down my favorite time of year. We have had such a wonderful string of weather this year. We've even had spring. I don't remember when the last time that happened, but summer was fantastic. We were able to get out and enjoy lots of activities. And fall so far is going so well. The smell in the woods this time of the year, if you haven't experienced it in a while, then I definitely suggest that you take the time before it gets too yucky, because they say we're going to have a mild winter, which sounds good on paper, but never ever works out when you're on the Avalon Peninsula. But we'll see what comes and we'll have to make the best of it. So we've got a guest on our show this week who I've been looking forward to touching base with for quite some time now. I've talked over this show episodes in the past about the outfitting industry and about the tourism industry and about how they've been especially affected by COVID this year. But I definitely wanted to get a handle on the outfitting industry's perspective of this year and about the outfitting industry in general and its place in our culture. And so I've asked Corey Foster. He is the Executive Director of the Newfoundland and Labrador Outfitters Association, to join us and have a chat about his industry association, about the industry itself, about the extra special challenges of this year, and of course, where we're headed with the industry. So welcome, Corey.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we're delighted you could join us. I know it's a busy time for year, or the year for you, especially given, you know, the fact that things are a little bit different and you're attempting to kind of navigate through this tangle. But Corey, I definitely wanted to touch base and have a chat with you. So first of all, for people who don't know you, Corey, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I guess, as you said, I'm the Executive Director of the Newfoundland and Labrador Outfitters Association. I live in Gander, born and raised in Newfoundland. I've worked in the tourism industry for the last, I guess, about 15 years now, and specifically with the NLOA for the last 6 years. Live in Gander, head office for the NLOA is in Corrybrook, so I spend quite a bit of time going back and forth. And I guess traveling all over the island and really over Canada and North America for meetings, trade shows, etc. Love the outdoors, all about it. And of course, born and raised in Buckens, it's no wonder why I love the outdoors. And hunting and angling, of course, staple parts of my life since I've been a baby, and will continue to be, I would imagine, until the day I die.
Well, and you're not alone there, Corey, because so many people who have been fortunate enough to grow up in rural Newfoundland, as you have, it is definitely a part of them. It's a part of who they are, it's part of their family and their regular experience, but certainly not the same for everyone. And there are people in the world who think of this as a paradise and who would travel and pay and come and visit just to take in those things that we sort of take for granted sometimes. So this industry has grown. I mean, people certainly tout the outfitting or sort of the tourism industry as such a godsend here in Newfoundland and Labrador, and that's true. It's definitely an economic driver. But I think people sometimes forget that the very first tourism opportunities that happened here in Newfoundland and Labrador, the very first visitors came to hunt and fish. So I think that's something that we should remember. So enter in the NLOA, as it's known, the Newfoundland and Labrador Outfitters Association. Tell us a little bit about this organization.
So we're a nonprofit organization. We're governed by a board of directors. They are 9 outfitters. We are the non-resident, the organization that represents non-resident hunting and angling for Newfoundland and Labrador. We have 115 business members of the NLOA, which probably accounts for about 85% of the hunting industry, non-resident hunting industry, of course, so your non-resident outfitters, and very similar in terms of your angling outfitters. And these, of course, would be licensed hunting and angling outfitters for the industry. And our primary objectives, our key role, one, most importantly, is conservation. We work very, very closely with our government counterparts, particularly our department of, the wildlife sector of the department, to ensure the success and longevity of our primary species. We deal, in terms of hunting, we deal only in big game, so moose, black bear, and woodland caribou. And angling primarily would be salmon and brook trout, but of course all other species as well. And from, I guess, aside from conservation, you know, we work very closely with our members. We're all about industry improvements. We're all about growth. And I guess to sum it up, to move the industry and our members forward in a positive manner to continuously increase our product and service provisions to our customers from around the world.
Mm-hmm. So, Corey, when did, you know, how did this organization initially start? So how did you guys kind of knit yourselves together?
I'm not really familiar with how it began in the early days. I would imagine it's probably a collective of like-minded people getting together who share the same vision and goals and to try and, I guess, grow an industry.
Right, and that's kind of the way that you guys are doing this now.
100%, yeah, 100%. Only we've grown from, I would imagine, back 50-plus years ago, a couple of members to 115 business members now. Our membership is, you know, 6 years ago when we started, it was just below 100. We've seen as high as 121 members. COVID's a little, you know, COVID has created some significant challenges, but I must say, most of our members have stood by our side and continue to be here because we are the key support for these guys during COVID. And it's no doubt has grown significantly. And thankfully for our members for their support, and as well, I guess, particularly as well, government members, our government partners for their support to ensure, you know, that our organization continues to grow and move forward.
Right. And so, you know, when initially this started, when you started with them 6 years ago, how have things changed? Have you guys even grown within that short time? Do you feel like this is a bit of a booming time in the outfitting industry previous to COVID, obviously?
We have, absolutely. In the last 6 years, I've seen significant changes to our organization as well as to the industry. I think primary objective of a lot of our members today, a little more so than in the past, and I think it's a result of demand. A lot more people want to come to Newfoundland and Labrador to hunt and fish. We're seeing growth. As a matter of fact, we're pre-COVID, 2019, we're almost at maximum capacity in terms of our non-resident moose license sales. We're at maximum capacity for our caribou license sales. There's definitely growth opportunity in black bear sales, and we're seeing that. And from an angling perspective, you know, there's certainly growth in our salmon and our brook trout opportunities with our members, and we're seeing that. And you can see it year over year. If you look at the numbers, I mean, the government takes really good records in terms of our hunters and anglers, where they're coming from, in terms of, you know, a cost for a hunter and angler to come here to Newfoundland and Labrador. You can see price tags of outfitters increase. You can see the product and service provisions improving. It's quite interesting to watch it grow and see how the industry continues to improve year over year. I'm not sure, you know, this year is quite different. So we have our fingers crossed that the impacts from COVID will be minimal once we're able to get back into full operation here. But I guess that's like any other industry, any other business being challenged by COVID, yet to be seen.
Yes, absolutely. It is uncertain times. But I think, you know, I imagine that they come to you to and for that support and that network opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, your members, why do you think that they are coming to you?
For advice, for support, for assistance. We'll go before COVID-19. You know, if an outfitter was challenged in terms of anything, in terms of allocations, if they had issues with something going on in the areas they hunt fish, it could be mining operations, forestry operations, anything of the such, they would come to us. They would come to us in terms of any information for potential funding programs out there. It could be for marketing, could be to improve their technology. It could be for even to inquire about where they'd go to get business loans for business improvements. It could be about marketing, what trade shows should they attend, and of course, can a lawyer participate in all this stuff? There's a whole array of reasons, I guess, for our members to reach out to us, and we definitely see that a lot. Since COVID came into play, our members reach out to us a whole lot more, and we're hearing from a lot more of our members consistently. And obviously, it's because we are the face of the industry. We're the ones who are reaching out to our provincial and federal government counterparts, looking for assistance for all of our members. We're providing the messaging, and we're playing a key role to help get the assistance that our members need to get through COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Well, Corey, it's a good sign when people reach out to you in their time of need. It means that you have helped them in the past and they trust that you'll help them now. So I think that's a good sign. We're going to learn more about the NLOA after a short break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. Welcome back to the Outdoor Hour. I am your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan, and we are sitting with the Executive Director of the Newfoundland and Labrador Outfitters Association. Corey Foster is my guest this afternoon, and I wanted to catch up with Corey and do a deep dive into the outfitting industry and kind of get some information out there in the community a little bit more about what this industry means to Newfoundland and Labrador, and in particular what the Outfitters Association does in the industry. So, Corey, before the break, we were talking a little bit about a brief talk about your mandate and what you guys are focused on doing. But what are the main goals of the Outfitters Association?
The main goals would definitely be for our organization to be a support network for the non-resident hunting and angling outfitters in the province. We are the forefront organization in terms of government partnerships, working directly with government to advocate for our industry. We're the lead marketing organization for the industry. We do significant marketing all across, actually primarily North America, but we actually do one trade show in Germany each year. We're a key support for all of our members. And we're a nonprofit organization whose members really consist of the hunting and fishing outfitters in Newfoundland and Labrador.
Right, and exactly like we said earlier, they're coming to you, and they're coming to you more in this time of need. So obviously what you're doing is helping them. So what are some of the things that you're doing throughout a normal year? Obviously things aren't going as planned this year, but pre-COVID, what would a normal year for the Outfitters Association look like?
We work with a lot of different groups in terms of activities that happen within the environment in Newfoundland and Labrador. I guess a good example of one now, we're working with Marathon Gold for their Valentine Lake project. We do have some outfitters located in the immediate area of that project, and we have other outfitters who could potentially be impacted as a result of the work being done there and the impacts to the environment to our animals or species that would be, that our industry relies on for, as our primary species for hunting and angling. So that's one example of how we are working with them closely to determine the impacts and how we can assist in, making the impacts be less on our members. It's a good partnership. One that happens quite often. We've worked with NALCOR for the last, 8 or 10 years very closely in terms of the Labrador Island transmission link and the impacts that that transmission line has had on our industry and on some of our members. On the flip side, on the opposite side of the coast, we've worked with Amera very closely over the last 8 to 10 years in that project. So we're always, we work closely with the Department of Forestry for those operations, Corn with Pulp and Paper. And these are all, ongoing, as well. We work to, identify gaps within our industry, within our members, of how we can help. One project we started working on that got hindered by COVID, delayed by COVID, is we started working on trying to assist our members in terms of occupational health and safety to develop policies for their businesses, for their staff, and to implement the policies. And we've been working closely with some government people to get some support there to help our members move that along, because that's been identified again as a key area of concern. We're consistently working with our Department of Tourism in terms of marketing, in terms of support for our members. We continuously work with the Department of Wildlife in terms of species management, conservation, the whole gamut. And we have a national partner, the Canadian Federation of Lakefishers Associations. So that would be all associations from across Canada on the board of directors for that organization. And that's where we get our messages to, provided at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
We work very closely with Safari Club International, who's, the largest international hunting organization for the world. And we do partner with them on a number of things. We do an annual convention each year, which provides our members with an opportunity to meet a lot of the key stakeholders in the industry to, a lot of these people attend, participate, present, et cetera. So that's a big project each year that we do. We are also involved in a major marketing project with the federal government through ACOA and through our Department of Tourism with the province, which involves the NLA participating in 6 trade shows a year, 5 of which are in the U.S., 1 of them Germany. And we also hire Canada in the Rough out of Ontario to come in and do 3 hunting television shows with 3 of our outfitters each year. And we bring in new fly fisher from Ontario, and they do 3 angling television shows with 3 of our angling outfitters each season. So we're always busy. There's always things on the go. Unfortunately, COVID has delayed some of it, but at the same time, with anything, new challenges, new opportunities.
Absolutely.
So we're kept very busy.
Yes, indeed you are. Indeed you are. It must be different for you to be not on the road on trade shows. I know it takes a lot out of you to do. I mean, it's not just those few hours that you're there. The luck goes into the preparation and the execution of a booth in a trade show, especially in another place, in another country.
Absolutely.
So, Corey, on average, obviously there's a lot of effort that goes into making sure that this industry is well supported with your team as well as with the outfitters themselves. They do take pride in their businesses and want to make sure that they are all sort of a united. And that's one thing that I've noticed in my experience with the outfitting industry is they're very well supportive of each other. It really is a network, and they really, 99% of them, there's going to be a few bad apples, certainly, but 99% of them are there to help each other out because it's the tide that lifts all boats, certainly. So who's coming, though? When you go to these trade shows, you say you go to Germany, you go all over North America. Who are you attracting?
So from a hunting perspective, there's on average probably around 4,200 non-residents a year who come to Newfoundland and Labrador to hunt. And I would say about 20 to 25% from Canada. 20 to 25% from Canada, 75% from the U.S., and less than 5% from the remainder of the world.
Right.
So yeah, definitely. And in terms of angling, I would say a very small percentage from beyond North America. And again, I mean very small, probably 1 to 2%, if not lower. From a U.S. perspective, you'd be up around 80-85% in Canada, probably between the 10 to 20% range. And they would be, I would say, on any given year, we welcome between 3 to 4,000 anglers, non-resident anglers to Newfoundland Labrador.
Wow, that is a lot of people, though, when you think about it, and certainly with no one traveling this year, that's a lot of people that we're missing. Sure.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if you look at it, if you want to put a few numbers out there, I mean, the value of our industry each year in new money, because it is non-residents, so keep in mind, this is all new money that comes into Newfoundland and Labrador. We did a study 2 years ago, an in-house study with the NLOA, hired actually a former executive director to come on and do a study for us, and his numbers showed that our industry brings in approximately $50 million in new money each year, and that's direct. We're not talking any indirect, that's direct. That's a lot of money when you're speaking probably 7,000, 7,500 people a year who are bringing 50 million plus into our economy. And, that results into 1,300 plus jobs. Most Most of our employees are from rural Newfoundland and Labrador. Significant revenue for the support service sector for our industry, so gas stations, grocery stores, you name it, could be lawyers, accountants, et cetera. We've got a big service sector for this industry. And, it's a significant impact to our economy.
It is so, and I think it definitely it is. And I think people probably don't realize that. I know there's some negative feedback towards the industry, and we'll get into that after the break. But I don't think people realize really the spin-off. We talk about it all the time, but these businesses are operating in places where there are basically no other businesses or need for, you know, for these services other than them. So that's something to think about, something we'll get into more after the break. We'll be right back here on the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. Welcome back to the Outdoor Hour. I'm your host, Leslie Ann Corrigan. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, this is my favorite time of year. I sure hope that you're getting out and enjoying it, whether you're hunting, fishing, berry picking, hiking, camping, whatever you're at. I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope you are staying safe, of course. That's our number one priority, whatever we're doing and whenever we're talking to anybody about the outdoors, is to keep safety in mind always. And, of course, I wanted to direct people to our Facebook page. I share pictures of my adventures and mishaps in the outdoors, and I'd love to see yours. So if you have anything you'd like to share with me, please do send it along. You can either post there on our Facebook page or email me at outdoorhour@vocm.com. And I would love your feedback too. If you think we're doing something not quite right, or if you have some suggestions, or if you think we're doing a great job, we'd love to hear from you. So send us a line. So today we're actually getting into a little bit more. Sometimes I get out and get an adventure, but sometimes I get to talk to people who are working in the outdoor industry about what it is that this year means to them and about the state of their industry. And that today is one of those days. I've got Corey Foster here with me from the Newfoundland and Labrador Outfitters Association. And we've been talking about certainly outfitting and its place in our economy and its place in our community. So before the break, we were tossing around a few numbers, Corey, about the money that this industry generates for our economy. And you estimated in a study recently that it was $50 million. So tell us where, you know, we talked a little bit about where that money is coming from. But these people that are coming in, do you think that they are in our community, or is it the outfitters themselves who are kind of shopping around in the community?
No, I got to be completely honest here. I mean, our hunters and anglers come to Newfoundland. It's not like they get off an airplane, and in most cases, they don't just get off an airplane and go directly to an outfitter's lodge. You know, they visit grocery stores, they visit liquor stores, they visit souvenir shops somewhere along the way. I mean, I've heard countless stories of outfitters saying, you know, my hunter got his moose or his animal in the first couple of days. So I took them out into our community. They got to meet people. They got to hear stories. They got to see the heritage and culture of Newfoundland and Labrador. And again, you know, like it provides more than just the outfitting perspective in terms of how revenue are generated. Lots of times these hunts go in early, and there's opportunity for a hunter or an angler to do more. And they certainly like to do more. I mean, we've got one outfitter on the South Coast who offers boat tours to his clientele when they're done with their hunting or angling trip. On the Northern Peninsula, we're of an outfitter who quite commonly brings his hunters into the community after they're done hunting. Now, that may change. I need to make this point. That may change moving into the future. I mean, as we're dealing with COVID-19, one of the big things that we like to talk about for our industry is that, you know, most of our clientele will come, they're isolated while they're here. Our outfitting lodges are located in, you know, the deepest rural Newfoundland and Labrador that you can find. Human contact beyond the staff or other clients who are at the lodge is extremely minimal, if any, in a lot of cases. And that may have to be a key role for us as we move forward. But for now, in the past, pre-COVID, absolutely. I mean, there's more opportunity than just a hunter or an angler coming, and the only money they spend would be the fee that they would pay an outfitter. And, you know, just to make this note, you know, we definitely bring in the most revenue per person per tourist, for lack of a better word, into the province and any other part of the industry. You know, some of these people are paying upwards of $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 US to come to Newfoundland and Labrador to hunt or fish for 4, 5, 6, 7 days, you know. So.
Well, and so do you feel that being tourism department, they spend so much money on marketing, do you feel that because of that fact that the outfitter industry is getting its due from them?
Oh, absolutely. In terms of government partners, we've got from, I guess, the wildlife sector of their departments and from the Department of Tourism in general, we really, you know, we couldn't ask for a better partnership. And the Department of Tourism, they provide the NLOA with core funding each year. They have for the last, I believe, 6 years now. They are a key partner in our marketing project that we do each year with the NLOA. They have their own marketing dollars that they put forth for the outfitting industry, where they work with a consultant. They do a lot of online marketing for our industry throughout North America and around the world. You know, they put a lot of time and money into our industry. We've got our own website, huntingnewfoundlandlabrador.com. We've got our own angling website, anglingnewfoundlandlabrador.com. This is all done through the Department of Tourism. The support is by far there. I mean, the Department of Tourism has a role to support the entire tourism industry, and I will say we are very equally supported by the Department of Tourism in terms of our sector of the tourism industry. Absolutely.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. So what about the outfitters themselves? You know, what do you think that they are feeling, you know, in support from not so much from government, but do you think that that support that you're getting from those are reflected in the community?
I would think so. Absolutely. A good example, the Department of Tourism, I believe it's changed now. It used to be Department of Innovation who went with tourism. I believe now they're gone to another department. They have a program that allows outfitters to access marketing dollars. So it's not only the Department of Tourism or provincial government doing marketing. It's not only NLA doing marketing. There's opportunity there for all of our outfitter members to do their own marketing. And there is money there that they can access to assist them with the cost of marketing, because we all know that's not very cheap, no matter how you do it or where you do it. You know, I talk to outfitters all the time who have spoken to or are getting help from somebody in the Department of Tourism, somebody in the Department of Wildlife, somebody in the Department of Forestry, you name it. There's definitely a collective support there right across. And, of course, you know, I guess it's like anything. We have our challenges. We all have our challenges along the way, but that's to be expected. But from an overarching perspective, by all means, the support's there for us as an organization, and it's certainly there for our members of our industry.
So, Corey, you mentioned you have 115 members. That's about 85%. So that will put us up around 150, I guess, give or take, outfitting businesses in the province. You know, do you think that these, you know, I know they operate in remote regions, but do you think that these guys get the respect that they're getting from the government within their own communities?
That's a challenging question, to say the least. A frequent conversation that we have at the board level, so within our organization, as well as a frequent conversation that I have with members, is sometimes what we see as a lack of support amongst Newfoundlanders and Labradorians for our industry. And we feel it's not that they're against us, you know, it's not, I guess, anybody who doesn't really like the industry, I don't think it's that they're necessarily against us. It's the lack of information out there about who we are and what we do. So I guess, you know, a big kudos to you for this interview today, because it gives me an opportunity to share the good news about our industry, you know. And I guess a primary role of ours that we've talked about from an organization, from an organizational perspective, is to educate Newfoundlanders and Labradorians on our industry and the good that we do and why everybody should appreciate and support our industry, because we do a lot of good. And, you know, we're a very important part of the tourism industry in Newfoundland and Labrador. We're a very important part of, you know, 1,300 families who get their income or a portion of their income from our industry. And we do a lot of good. So again, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And these 1,300 people who are directly employed with the outfitting industry, they're in rural economies. They're in rural places that there aren't many opportunities to work at home. And so it's people who typically either would be fishing in a different era or they would be off and gone somewhere else to work. So that's something that we should also remember. So, Cor, we mentioned $50 million that come into the economy, 1,300 people that are directly employed by this industry. But I know the number that people probably don't really appreciate is the moose licenses. How many moose licenses does the industry get?
That's a very common question. And a very common comment that we hear that the outfitting industry has all the moose licenses. And that's not exactly true. We have 3,930 non-resident moose licenses that are allocated to our industry each year. I believe right now our number is probably that allocation belongs to 160 businesses. And that's the way the government has it separated. In terms of larger picture, that probably accounts for about 14% of the overall moose licenses for the province of Newfoundland and Labrador. We have a very small percentage of the moose licenses for the province each year, absolutely.
Right. And so why do you think that there's that misconception out there that you guys have all the moose licenses?
I'm not really sure. I think it's probably because residents have to go into a pool. And I might misspeak here in terms of the number, but I don't think so. The number I've heard in the past is that there's roughly, the province receives roughly 100,000 applications each year for residents.
I'm just going to stop you there for one moment because I hate to interrupt you, Corey, but I think people should let that number sink in. That's 20% of our population applies for a moose license every year. That's huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a big number of people. So this is important to a lot of people is what I wanted to say. So you guys get, you have 100,000 people who are applying for the license.
Yep.
And there's what? If you guys get 14%, there's over 30,000 licenses, I guess.
Yeah, I think right now, I don't have the numbers in front of me. Once upon a time when the guide was printed, I could pull it open and share it, but unfortunately that's not so easy anymore. In any case, I believe there's around 26,000 resident moose licenses. I could stand to be corrected here. And again, about 100,000 applications that go in the system that I've been told. You've got one out of every four Newfoundlanders who get a license each year. So you apply each year, you get a license one year, and you move through the pool, and maybe the next year you don't get a license, next year you don't. However, an outfitter, they have 3,930 moose licenses allocated each year, spread over 160 businesses, and the outfitter gets their licenses every year.
Right.
So I can see, I can definitely see that as being, I'm Corey from Gander, and I didn't get a moose license this year, but outfitter A, not too far from Gander, got their moose licenses. How come I didn't get one? And yet these non-residents could come in year after year after year. And I guess a big part of it, we have a huge percentage of repeat clientele for a lot of our outfitters. So sometimes you're seeing a lot of the same faces coming from Pennsylvania, from Maine, from New York, from Ontario year after year to get their moose because they just love to come here and hunt.
I can't blame them, Corey. That's for sure. We have to. I have to cut you off there again. I'm shopping for it, but the chat goes on. Unfortunately, we have to take a break. But we'll be right back after this, and we'll talk more with Corey Foster of the NLOA. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and this is the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM. And we're back for the very last segment of this Outdoor Hour. I was just saying to Corey on the break that an hour is no time. This conversation has been so interesting. So I think we may have to do a repeat show later on the year. What do you think, Corey?
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, this is Corey Foster, folks, in case you're just tuning in. Corey is the executive director of the Newfoundland and Labrador Outfitters Association. And before the break, we were talking about the impacts and the revenue and the benefits that the outfitting industry brings into our rural Newfoundland communities and our economy as a whole. But we're also talking about the fact that that's not so well understood probably in our own community. So that's what we're trying to do today is get out the word that the outfitting industry isn't a bad guy. Just 14% of moose licenses go to this industry with $50 million generated from those 14% of licenses. So Corey, with this feeling in the community, have you had any, I know that you mostly travel for trade shows, but you've also been a part of the Newfoundland Sportsman Outdoor Expo that we hosted, or we were supposed to host this year as part of Stingray's new initiative with the expo, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But I know that you have met lots of people at that show as well. So what is the feedback that you're hearing directly from people when you meet them?
Yeah, we have. Actually, when I spoke a few minutes ago about the NLOA identifying a priority of ours to being educating Newfoundlanders and Labradorians on our industry and the good things that we do, one of the tasks that we took upon, I guess, was participating in the Sportsman Trade Show. We saw that as an excellent opportunity to, I guess, educate fellow Newfoundlanders and Labradorians on our industry. Because keep in mind, most of our business owners, most of our employees are Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. We are a provincial industry that's been around for a very long time. We do a lot of good here. We're a part of our province. In any case, we've done the show now for a couple of years, and it's an opportunity. We have a lot of people come to our booth, and some are positive. Some just come to inquire. We've had some come and provide their resumes to us during the show. But we've also had people come to our booth and say, the outfitting industry, you guys, I don't like you guys. I don't like what you do. You got all the moose, et cetera. And I'll speak specifically to one gentleman that I met 2 years ago at the show, maybe 3 years ago now. In any case, an older gentleman, he came up to me and he said, I really don't like your industry because he said, you guys have all the moose. And I said, well, can I have a minute of your time? He said, absolutely. And he said to me, he said, you've got my ear. And he said, you've got as much time as you need. He said, change my mind. So anyway, him and I spoke for about 20 minutes, and I had a fact sheet there on the industry, and I talked about the number of people we employ, the money we bring in, the businesses we support, where we're located to. And I shared the good news on our industry. And when the conversation had ended, he looked at me, he said, you know what, he said, I've felt this way now for probably the last 25 to 30 years, but he said, in this quick conversation, you've changed my mind. He said, now that I know more about the industry, I know more about what you do, I know more about what you have and what you don't have, you've got my support. And he thanked me and he walked away. And that's exactly the role that we want to play, the important part of us being there. And we're going to continue to be a part of opportunities like that. And we hope to do a lot more in the future. And again, this is another great example of an opportunity for us to share the good news about our industry and to share why we should have the support of Newfoundlanders and Labradorians for our industry.
Yes, no, I agree. And I think, probably in communities where there aren't outfitting businesses, where they don't meet these companies, business owners at the hardware stores or at the grocery stores or at the gas stations, perhaps it's there that this negative image comes from because they're not seeing the direct impact. Because it's true, I mean, these are businesses, some of them are quite large businesses. We think of outfitting industry businesses sometimes as just sort of like a small operation, a lodge that hosts a few guests a week. But some of these businesses are big companies that are running businesses with hundreds of employees, some of them, which is really great to see. And it's a part of the communities that they're in, but it's also a big part of the economy that I think more people need to appreciate. So what about on the angling side of things? I know people have that negative thought of the licenses, which I hope we've dispelled now for lots of our listeners. But what about on the angling side? I know there's an irrational worry of the catch and release pressure on salmon and trout. What are some negative feedback that you might get from people who are anglers in the province?
That's definitely, I will say the angling industry, angling outfitting industry is a lot more support than what the big game side of it does. But that is definitely one of the key, I guess, negative components or negative pieces of feedback that we get from the angling side is around the catch and release. For the most part, most of our angling outfitters can survive 100% on catch and release only. The vast majority of our outfitters are catch and release only. Now, some of our outfitters do retain. They might retain a couple salmon a year. They might retain however many salmon per year their guests are allowed to retain. However, we're definitely an industry that could survive. I would say 100% if we were catch and release only. And there's a lot of people who don't like catch and release. They feel that it kills a lot of fish. They're just completely against it and thus creates many challenges along the way. Mm-hmm. And everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And, I mean, there's facts out there, you know, to say that, yes, catch and release is not 100%, you know, it doesn't work 100% of the time and that there are some fish that die. But DFO does see catch and release as a conservation effort. And, you know, they support it. And so we're thankful of that. But that would definitely be the primary concern that we get from our residents in terms of our industry from an angling perspective.
Mm-hmm. And there are many studies that support effective catch and release when done well and safely. And I think outfitters would want to make sure that they are imparting the best practices on in their businesses, because that's best practice for their business, certainly. So we talked a lot about this year and how things are changing, but so what do you see as your role now in this year that's a bit different that it might be, going forward?
Well, I guess I see it the end of the way. We have two roles here now. Our first role is to work with our provincial and federal governments to ensure that our businesses have the support they need to get through COVID-19. A lot of our businesses are going to go 22 months as it stands now, providing we have an industry that moves forward next year and COVID is not necessarily behind us, but we're able to live with it and function. A lot of our members, a lot of our businesses are going to go 22 months without revenue. I don't know a whole lot of businesses anywhere that can go 22 months without revenue. So, our industry needs support. We need support from provincial and federal governments, and that's definitely one of our primary roles. We're working very closely with a lot of our MHAs, MPs, et cetera, to get the help that our businesses need. And number two, I guess, working on our path forward. We had a meeting with Minister Hagee on this past Friday, and we discussed some options that could potentially be supported by public health in 2021 and beyond. And again, potentially, not that they will be or will not be. So we discussed some options and stuff, and that's our path forward to work with our provincial and federal governments to ensure that our industry can move forward in 2021 and beyond. Another thing we're doing, we're working with the Department of Wildlife to determine how they can help our members moving into 2021 who've had some loss or for most of them total loss in 2020. It could be reprieval on license fees. It could be, maybe rolling over some licenses into 2021 that were unused in 2020. There's all kinds of things being discussed. But 100% primary objective is to ensure that our members, our industry survives. We get through this with the help that we need, and we have a positive path to move forward so that we don't lose what we spent so long to build.
Well, and that's important because, I don't think people realize for the outfitting industry, the funnel has just stopped because basically there's no hunters. No one's going to buy a moose tag, and it certainly is against regulations. A resident can't buy a non-resident moose tag. But then also the angling. I mean, most people go to their favorite fishing spot, or they go to their favorite, fishing river, that sort of thing. They're not going to necessarily consume the same package that someone would from away. So I think it has been a challenging year, and then certainly they go to trade shows, and that's where they get their bookings for the following year. So all through the spring and the winter, that's what the outfitters are doing. They're not off. They are out trying to make sure that they're booked again for the following season. So now that's off the table. So as you mentioned, it's 22 months or more for a lot of these businesses. So it's something to think about, and it's definitely something that we're going to feel in the community. And I think it is important to get the message out there that there are 1,300 families who are affected by this industry's stall. And so we need to change our mindset perhaps and give them the support in the community, because they are a driving force. Corey, I want to thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great chat. We'll definitely have to do this again if anything changes in the coming months with the travel restrictions.
Sounds good. Thank you very much for your time and for the opportunity. I greatly appreciate it. And it's nice to have the opportunity to share the good news about our industry.
Absolutely. Well, that's what we're all about, Corey, at the After Hour. That's the main mandate of this show. So thanks again for joining us, folks. And if you missed the show on Sunday, you can catch it again Wednesday at 7. And, of course, it's available all the time at VOCM.com. I'm Leslie Ann Corrigan, and this has been the Outdoor Hour on your VOCM.